All right, there's a cute little red light on that camera over there, which means it's time to go. Hi, I'm Jeff Sangbill, the CTO of Key Code Media. We're going to be having a little chat about live sports production workflow today. First of all, who the heck is everybody? Please introduce yourselves and tell these fine folks here what you do on the daily. Dan, we'll start with you.
Okay, we'll start with me. I am Stan Fracker. I'm the operational director of broadcast and AV systems for Illich Sports and Entertainment. And really, it's a fairly new role. That I came into about a year ago. Previously, for the 10 years prior to that, I was the director of broadcasting and in-game entertainment for the Tigers. So basically kind of shifted to a position now where I oversee our broadcast operations as well as our in-house productions at both Little Caesars Arena and at Comerica Park.
Awesome. Kelly?
Kelly Gottesman, senior project engineer with Key Code Media. Worked on the project here that we're talking about today. And we're based out of Detroit here, and we appreciate everybody coming and stopping in and taking a listen.
And this is not the only project you work on. You got a couple others going on.
Yeah.
And John?
John Rutherford, also with Key Code Media, senior solution architect, aka pre-sales engineer. Been with Key Code 9 years now and excited to get in the project with Stan and the Tigers.
Awesome. Stan, can you give us, kind of walk us through a typical game day for the live production team at a Tigers game? Other than missing scores happening behind you, what are some of the key tasks and challenges that your crew faces from setup to teardown?
For the Tigers, again, yeah, so we're using the term kind of broadcast, but really the focus, especially on this project, was for our in-house production. So, and that primarily goes to our video board in left field, as well as this year we debuted IPTV too at the ballpark. For us, a game day. You know, the preparation starts really, you know, months in advance for every game day and understanding, you know, what the theme night is, what the plan is for the game from an in-house production standpoint. And we try to touch upon that throughout the game. If we have Pink Out the Park, then we're changing graphics, you know, to reflect that theme. Same with Star Wars Night and all the other fun stuff that comes with it. At the base of that, though, is just, a way of engaging our fans that we know we can do on a nightly basis. The key touch points for that and the project that I heavily involved with Key Code was the installation of our new video board this year. And so for us, it's, planning and designing content, for that video board. And then typical game day, yeah, involves, scripting process often in the morning or late hours the night before. Then meeting with the staff who comes in, all our game day production. I think those of you that are kind of local area, we have this great, freelance community of, camera people, graphics operators, all their broadcast technicians that we use on a regular basis, but we still have to get them up to speed. And so 6:40 game, we'll meet at 1:30 and go through the whole script for the day with the crew and then just disperse and conduct a series of rehearsals. If we're doing anything new for that game, it could be something as silly as whatever game, we're kind of introducing with a fan contestant, or it's a big ceremony that, we're doing before the game to honor the 1984 world champion. So, a lot of focus on the pregame elements and then the game, it gets started and, away we go basically.
Awesome. I like this idea of the Star Wars night because I don't know if you can hit a baseball with a lightsaber. I think that.
Well, if you watched our videos on Star Wars night, you think, yeah, it's a complete, that's something that happens all the time.
Okay. It happens all the time. I'm good with that. Over the years, what significant tech upgrades or advancements have you implemented to enhance the quality of the production on game day?
And so our ballpark, the most recent kind of full upgrade happened in 2012. Went to full HD scoreboard, including LED ribbon boards and a new control room with the Sony production switcher, Sony cameras, EVS replay, all the kind of standard stuff, from crosses over between broadcast and in-house. When I came in a year later, and then over the years, we've kind of made little tweaks where we could, added more channels of replay. We replaced graphics a few years ago and went with Ross Expression, for that. Had a lot of success with it. I will say on the expression side, always helpful to have. We have, a couple people on staff that have taken a great interest in it and have learned a little bit of programming themselves too, and, overcome some of the hurdles that comes along with that technology. Things like wireless intercoms, we invested in some Riedel gear last year and continue to try to do updates, which kind of brings us to this year where we've made one big update in the form of the scoreboard and the content management system, also Ross, as well as planning for next year. And that is, new control room, new switcher, new replay, replacing out all the guts of the system that we put in, way back in 2012.
Awesome. Well, let's get into the video wall project itself. There's always a demand for more engaging experience for fans in stadiums. Can you dig a little deeper into how the most recent upgrade of the wall happened at the Tiger Stadium? And what were the driving factors behind the decision? And did you accomplish all the goals?
Well, driving aside, a show of hands, I don't know how many people come to the Tigers games in recent years. All right, we got a couple. So, if you're there, especially last year, I would say the odds are better than even that you saw some black squares out on the scoreboard. So that was a real driving force. Really, we were at a point where not only did we want to improve our technology, we just simply needed, replace the technology that was no longer working. And it was end of life. These days when you get a video board, especially that size, especially outdoors, most of the manufacturers are very upfront that 10 years is kind of the lifespan for it. And we had pushed it past that. And we were seeing the results. A variety of factors kind of go into that. But we knew we were ready as an organization, to take on the challenge of bringing a new board to Comerica Park. And so then at that point, it's kind of like you just, look into, okay, what is the structure you're working with now? Do you have the opportunity to move it? As an organization, one of the perhaps the greatest feature of Comerica Park is when you're in the seats enjoying a game, you get to see Detroit's skyline in the background. That's watch games when we're on the road. That's not always a feature of ballparks, what they're looking at. Comerica Park is kind of unique with a couple others where it's a prominent feature of the ballpark and enhances the experience. And we kind of keep that in mind as we're playing the video board. So we want to keep the video board in the same location, that we're not obstructing, that we didn't want to go outside of the structure that currently is in place. But we had a lot of room within that. We had fixed signage, rotating signage that was on all sides of what our previous video board was, and underneath it too, as well. And we said, okay, we want to go all LED throughout that space. And then the process became, okay, well, we need to educate ourselves on the manufacturers. We were Daktronics already at that time, but we opened it up and visited Minnesota, where they went to Daktronics, visited Pittsburgh, where they went Mitsubishi, visited the New York Mets that went Samsung, which is a little bit of a new player in the video board industry, and got the pros and cons of all of them and did our research, took a member of our staff with us and really just, drilled down on the nitty gritty of what's available out there. And then through the RFP process, you also take into account cost is a factor, and you continue to work with manufacturers. And we ended up, We landed with the Daktronics. We had a good relationship already. And though the other manufacturers made a strong case and it really pushed us on rethinking our considerations, in the end, we felt comfortable and Daktronics met our goals for the project. And I think where we are today is a good reflection of that. They delivered a terrific product.
Excellent. And I've seen the Samsung wall out at Citi Field.
Yeah, the interesting thing about that one, too, is that it is the largest board in Major League Baseball, and ours is now the second largest.
Nice. John, we're going to start with you on this one. We're talking about the initial outline or the vision for the video wall upgrade and how it evolved. Every project always likes to evolve, which always is fun on the design side. And then, getting into the key challenges encountered along the way for deployment and how they were overcome with Kelly. So, John, we'll start with you on that.
Again, we were obviously very excited to get involved early on in the project. As Stan said, Ross Expression Systems were the engines behind the content delivery of that to the video board. And we've got a great relationship with Ross, so that was a very seamless process from our standpoint as far as integration. And it was really just a matter of, and Kelly can get into this a little bit more details with regards to the actual on-site install, because, of course, Daktronics was doing their side of the work at the same time, and we all are working under a very unmovable deadline of opening day. So there was a lot of racing to the finish line to get it all done in a very confined space. So there were challenges on that front. But the other thing I want to make sure we cover is the fact that our friends at Ross also have a division called Rocket Surgery, which helps with clients that are moving into a full Ross Expression Graphic environment to help them design content that's going to be appropriate for the use case and also provide the context that, like Stan was saying, that's important to the fans and important to the team and the history and all of those elements and the city, right? The look and feel of those graphic elements need to reflect all of that. So that was a multi-month process, which is kind of still in fine-tuning stage right now. I'm still on that email thread. And, you know, it's exciting to watch that process evolve over time because the technology is great and amazing and powerful, but it's the content that's driving the fans and the overall messaging to it. And Kelly, I think you can chime in with some of the more finer details.
The fun challenges.
Well, there's challenges, right, with every install that we do. And we were, again, very excited to partner with the COPA team. That's how I call them now because that's what they go by. And to meet, you know, all the people that make the magic happen, all real nice folks down there at the street here. But some of the challenges were obviously the deadlines, right? We have opening day, but we also needed to have our part of the bargain, if you will, ready to go for the commissioning of the Ross equipment, which they work magic. Amber, you know, she gets us to the finish line. But just working down there, first, it is tight. We had to find spots for all of our equipment, get our gear in there. But then I look out the window and there's probably 27 other projects going on down there. I mean, I'm like, how the hell are they going to get this done right before opening day? From heavy machinery, you know, everything. And the video walls just starting to go up like the third week of March. And I'm like, okay, you know, and these people are working out in these elements, you know, and this is what they do. So we all just dug in and made it happen. There were different obstacles because of just the previous build in 2012, right? We're trying to pull out some old cable and find, you know, places to put our new stuff and working with their IT folks and just getting to the finish line. But it's not unlike most of our projects where we have different challenges that will pop up even after we've done site visits and things like that. It's just the deadline, it's not going to move, you know, with the Tigers. But it was really a great experience for me and the crew that we worked with down there because we built camaraderie, trust. We try to be as transparent as possible when something rears its ugly head so that everybody knows that we're trying to get this to the finish line, but this is an obstacle that's in our way, and we're going to do the best we can to get through that obstacle. So, and, you know, we had to be there for opening day just to make sure things were going good, and that ended up being there for a couple more games.
Of course you did. Yeah.
which was great to be down there. So
delivery acceptance, that's you kind of make sure it works. Stan, anything that the gents didn't get into?
No, I think the point that Kelly made as far as, you know, the opening day deadline is a big, that we always say that when we work with a lot of, you know, partner clients and people from other industries, and you know, sometimes deadlines can be a little fluid. For us, deadlines are deadline. Like, the game is not moving. We're starting at 1 o'clock. I mean, if there's rain, we might move it a day, and then, yeah, you got an extra day. But so deadlines to us are obviously, something we pay attention to quite a bit. And then, yeah, just the, you know, the work that KeyCode put in, being on site with us every day. They did, you know, kind of become, you know, additional members of our staff there for, you know, six-week, two-month stretch. As we got this project started. And then, again, to echo what John was saying about Rocket Surgery, that really is a big component of when you go, you know, in the direction of Ross, and you're going to utilize the technology they provide. And for us, that meant, you know, designing content for varying sizes of screens, you know, accounting for every pixel and being able to distribute them in a way that they show up the way you intended. Ross, very reliable on that. But the other part of that is having a design team, and a smart on their part, a design team that also can function within that and create for it. And when you come to a Tiger game, I think a great example of that where we really took advantage of it is what we call our game in progress. If you come to a baseball game, you know, it's one thing that's kind of different about watching games live at, you know, baseball versus hockey versus basketball or football. If you're at the other three, you can watch the game up on the screen. or at baseball, we can't show it live. Like it's in the field of play, kind of. It could distract the batter or pitcher, any of the players. So we're not permitted to show moving video up there. So a lot of emphasis in baseball gets put on what we call the game in progress. That is the headshot, the data, the artwork, everything that's on display while the batter is up and has to be still. But in between, when the batter's coming up, there could be motion that you can bring it to life. And that's where Ross kind of really stepped in and helped us with it, as John was referring to. We have now like an animated stone tiger, like the big stone tiger that's in front of the ballpark. It now is kind of brought to life, on our scoreboard, which is incredible. Something we always talked about for years. Well, it wouldn't be cruel if our animations include this. They did it, and it looks fantastic. And not only did they in a way that we can trigger it, you know, to like kind of, you know, amp up the crowd a little bit. And so just some nice touches. And it really was on, you know, our game presentation staff at the ballpark to say, okay, yeah, the board's going to be bigger and better. We're going to be able to show data a little, you know, more clearer, but not just being satisfied with that and really challenging themselves to create, you know, entertainment value too.
Very cool. Any memorable moments or challenges you've experienced while working on, you know, game day shows for the Tribe Tigers? How did you and your team overcome them? Just in general.
Yeah, in general. The specific ones are tough. I always think back to the big productions that we've done over the years for pregame ceremonies. We've done a lot, you know, Miguel Cabrera, you know, 3,000 hits was a big thing for us. And so we had several fantastic ceremonies for him over the years. Each one was more challenging than the next. Always making sure, you know, guests are in the right place, all of that that comes along with it. I think from a production standpoint, his 3,000th hit was a real challenge, just in that we were standing by. We had done this big music video production with Black Bach, who is a local talented pianist. We recorded something with him, a tribute that he had created. We did a special video, but at the end, we wanted Miggy's highlight on it of a 3,000th hit. So we had to have a quick turnaround all in place as we're constantly standing by for this hit, getting it edited and getting that video ready to roll prior to the next time he comes up at bat after the moment. So that was, you know, a challenge that involved, you know, several different departments and making it all happen. So,
and someone's finger on the button.
Yeah. On the yeah, exactly. You know, yeah. Clipping off the play we need, making sure we have the audio correct, you know, all these things that you check and recheck and you make sure it happens correctly.
Awesome. When you look ahead, emerging technologies, trends, what do you think is going to have the biggest impact on the way sports production in general is managed and delivered in the coming years? And how do you plan to adapt?
Well, right now we are making plans. The biggest thing that seems like we're right at the tipping point where it's becoming more the norm than not is the change to 2110, versus SDI. And I'm certainly not an expert in these areas and trying to, you know, educate myself, but even we have decided, you know, for next year, like to go with 2110. And I will say, as we were first considering this decision a year ago, we found many examples that didn't. In fact, of the three ballparks that I mentioned I visited, two had just built new control rooms that were SDI, you know, and it made sense for them. We strongly considered it too. But we also had the challenge of, okay, we needed to move our, you know, equipment racks to another location, get them out of the control room. Once you start kind of spanning that space, you know, 2110 makes a lot more sense. And then, you know, the other functionality, any ease of use that comes with it. And then, of course, the biggest thing is price. I mean, the estimates we're hearing now as we go into a project where we're going to redo our control room for next year are different than what we were hearing just a year ago on the IP side of things. So I think that's, you know, one of the biggest components. And then, you know, it's always just, you know, keep it. You have this opportunity, right, to build a new control room, to take on new equipment. And you want to make sure you're investing in the technology that's, you know, that's going to be lasting. But also right now it provides a wow factor. If we simply duplicated what we're doing now, but it's a little bit nicer, I don't think that would be sufficient. You know, you have to kind of keep pushing the envelope and it's looking for those things that will help us do that.
Yep. The 2110 prices are, you know, the people are jumping on them, trying to get them to come down. Are you getting any pressure to give up real estate for more fan space?
That's a good question. Yeah, it was like eavesdropping in our control room. All right. It's really all sports faces this. Like it, you know, in an arena sport, it's pretty rare to have the control room have any view of what's happening in the bowl. Like you can't give up that real estate. Now, Pete knows well, yeah, from our palace days. Baseball is a bit different. I mean, first of all, you have a little bit more space, so you can accommodate it. And it's much more critical to the show to be able to lay eyes anywhere that action is happening. You're covering a wide area. It's from an in-game presentation standpoint, you know, being able to see that anthem singer, being able to, like, you know, see other things that happen, even just being able to see the umpire instantly without having to rely on a camera getting the shot for you. There's a lot of kind of communication that happens back and forth between the press box and the field. So it is important for us to maintain it, but you're right. Yeah, there's, you start looking at the space you occupy, and yeah, can we make, is there more revenue sense? And we're very fortunate. Our organization, it just places a real value on in-game entertainment. And I've seen that in recent years and the resources we've put to it. And one of the things has been a recognition that where we are in our location behind home plate, the space we occupy against the glass is important to us. And we're able to keep the location. And a part of that is moving the data center away from us so that we can, you know, create a few more work areas too as well.
Excellent. One of the things I saw in a recent game on the West Coast was robotic jigs on wires. Any ideas in new camera placements and new technologies there?
Yeah, it's something we did investigate that a little bit with Little Caesars Arena. There's a, you know, from a broadcast standpoint, there's a sponsorship component that comes along with that where it makes much more sense on the finance side. It's a cool thing to have for your in-game show, but it's a little tougher to offset the cost on those. But a great thing to work with. I know, I believe in Seattle, they've used a camera like that and partnered, the in-house show partnered with their broadcast to both, you know, share it and make it work. So it's definitely something we keep our eye on as well, because it just gives you unique looks. In baseball, it really, you know, you get the runner coming around third and are able to kind of track with them. And then, you know, obviously the arena sports, you know, being able to come around overhead at various angles is fantastic.
John, Kelly, Stan, thanks for joining us here today.
Thanks, Stan. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. We appreciate it.
Thanks for watching Broadcast to Post. Please make sure to subscribe to the podcast to receive future episodes. Follow Key Code Media on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram to receive news on additional AV, broadcast, and post-production technology content. See you next time, folks.